to know and their representatives before the executive committee that not only will there be ample convention space, there will be an overflow convention hall adjoining the regular convention hall. There is a convention hall at Virginia Beach which closed circuit television can be utilized for those who want to stay on the beach in beach costume, which frankly I would prefer doing when I come down there in 1976. It is 20 minutes from downtown Norfolk. There are two new arterial expressways. That will be no problem. Now, the reason that the executive committee, I believe, is making this recommendation to you about Norfolk is threefold. First, it has been 30 years since the convention has met anywhere on the East Coast between Miami Beach and Atlantic City. Second, it has not met in Virginia for a generation or so. And thirdly, there are so many things that are in Eastern Virginia from Richmond to Norfolk that would be interesting to the messengers to this convention, to their wives and their children, because you are within an hour's drive of Old Point Comfort and Cape Charles and Cape Henry, of the first landing of the English people at Old Point Comfort, of Jamestown, of Williamsburg, of Yorktown, and the facilities on the Virginia Peninsula and in Hampton Roads, I assure you, are ample. And we look forward to your coming and being our guests in 1976.
The discussion is on the adoption of recommendation number 11. I recognize the person at microphone number 3.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Lee Duncan. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. And in addition to being a messenger to this convention, I also manage the Convention Bureau in Norfolk, Virginia. And I'm here to assure you that our facilities in Norfolk will be more than adequate for the needs of the Southern Baptist Convention for 1976. And I would like to point out that our facilities were outlined before the Executive Committee in Nashville this past February, and we have assured them, at least to their satisfaction, that our facilities will be more than adequate, and I am here to pledge the entire cooperation of our area to assure an outstanding success if we are graced and privileged with having the Southern Baptist Convention meet in Norfolk in 1976. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, and I recognize the person at microphone number 1.
Point of order, sir. Mr. Chairman.
Just a moment. I have a call for point of order. State your point of order.
Point of order is that we're in the time now for miscellaneous business, sir, and the time for this has been taken by the executive committee report. I talked to the chairman on order of business, and he gave me the privilege of raising this as a point of order. There are many motions. I don't have one, but people want to bring motions at this, and if we're going to follow the order of business, let's follow it even for the executive committee report.
Yes, your point is well taken. If the chairman of the program committee agrees that this was the recommendation earlier in this session from the program committee, would you clarify this?
Our recommendation was that we complete the executive committee report at this time before we take up the business. But this body has the right to do otherwise if it so chooses.
Well, then, if this was your intention and that of the committee, then the chair rules that the point of order is not well taken because we are considering the recommendations of the executive committee before proceeding with the order of the day. Now, the discussion is on the adoption of recommendation number 11. I recognize the person at microphone number 5.
Mr. Chairman.
I beg your pardon. I had already recognized number 1 before the point of order was called for. I stand corrected. We'll come to number 5 in a moment. Microphone number 1.
Mr. Chairman, Mickey Proctor from Houston, Texas. I have no problems with going to Virginia myself. I don't think many people do, except on page 176 of the convention procedure, I find a very disturbing statement if, in fact, we do go to Virginia, where it says, convention site, no city shall be considered as a meeting place for a Southern Baptist convention in which there is considerable distance between the available hotels and the convention hall. And I submit to the gentlemen who have spoken before, even though the convention hall itself may, in fact, be adequate, there is considerable distance between the available hotels to house such a convention as this and the convention center. And so I would propose that this motion be tabled for further study and brought back to this convention at the 1971 convention after it has been given considerable study in light of this statement.
Now, sir, just a moment. Are you moving that we table this motion to adopt recommendation number 11?
Yes, sir, and be brought back in 1971 in the light of this statement found on page 176.
Is he referring
to... And we do have a second, I believe, over here.
This is the point the chair was asking. You are referring to the entire recommendation?
No, sir. I'm referring to the point of accepting the City of Norfolk for our 1976 convention.
Then your motion is that we table until the next convention the portion of recommendation number 11 referring to Norfolk, Virginia.
That's correct, sir.
Is there a second to this motion to table? It is moved and seconded. This motion is in order. Is there discussion of this motion to table this section of recommendation number 11? All right, Mr. Ryland.
The brother who has just spoken, I believe, was attempting to quote me. I will stand corrected if I am wrong. If he attempted to quote me, he misunderstood me. I was saying, a little bit facetiously, that in addition to the ample reservations available in the city of Norfolk in 1976, there would also be reservations available in Virginia Beach, which is 20 minutes away, and that when I go to the convention, I'm going to stay at Virginia Beach. Now, I think we ought to be factual and accurate, and we have been assured by Mr. Duncan that there are ample hotel facilities available in Norfolk in 1976.
State your point of order, please. Microphone number 2, state your point of order.
A motion to table is undebatable.
I'll ask the parliamentarian if this is correct.
This is true, but this was a point of personal privilege.
We did grant a point of personal privilege to Mr. Ryland for the explanation, and this was in order. But the motion to table is now before us, and we must vote on this, the parliamentarian tells me. If you favor the motion to table the section of recommendation number 11, referring to the convention's meeting in Norfolk, Virginia in 1976, until next year, you will please let it be known by raising your right hand. Thank you, down. And those opposed, by the same sign. The chair rules that the motion is carried, and therefore the section of recommendation number 11 referring to Norfolk is tabled and will be presented again next year. We come back now to the original motion to adopt recommendation number 11 as now amended, and I had recognized microphone number 5.
Mr. Chairman, Fred Wason, Del Rio, Texas. May I make a request that next time we consider one of these sites, that instead of subjective opinions, that the committee present facts and figures concerning motel rooms and parking space.
All right, the discussion is on the adoption of recommendation number 11 as amended. Any further discussion? If you favor the adoption of the recommendation, please raise your right hand. Down. Any opposed? With the same sign. And the motion is carried. Dr. Ruth?
Recommendation number 12, Dr. Franklin Pascal.
We recommend that the section on convention session in the convention procedure be amended to read as follows. Convention session, 1, the convention shall open with the Tuesday morning session and continue through Thursday, holding such sessions as the Committee on Order of Business finds necessary for the conduct of business, except that Wednesday afternoon shall be reserved for seminary luncheons and other necessary committee meetings. 2, the convention sermon and the president's message shall be considered as fixed orders at the times designated by the Committee on Order of Business. Brother President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Is there a second? Has been moved and seconded the adoption of recommendation number 12. Any discussion? Yes. I recognize the brother here.
My name is Al Shackelford, a messenger from Speedway Baptist Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. I would like to move that recommendation number 12 be amended by substituting the words Monday night for the words Tuesday morning. The amended resolution would read in part, after the one in parentheses, the convention shall open with the Monday night session and continue through Thursday. If there's a second, I would like to discuss it briefly.
Is there a second to the amendment? I do hear a second, and the brothers ask for the privilege of discussing the amendment to the motion, which is to substitute the words Monday night for Tuesday morning for the beginning of the convention.
I think we are well aware that the reason that we come to the Southern Baptist Convention is to transact the business of the convention. And so therefore I feel the convention should be given the priority place during the week. And to me this is the beginning on Monday night. I would also like to suggest that those of us who attended the inspirational service last night know what a value it is to begin a convention with a fine inspirational service on a night session. So therefore I would urge the support of this amendment.
Thank you. The discussion is on the amendment, and another brother has asked for the floor on the platform.
Mario F. Smith, chairman of the Bylaws Committee of the Executive Committee, which made this recommendation. And I'd like to say that what the amendment has been offered does is to come into the original thinking of the Bylaws Committee. At that particular meeting, we had the president of the WMU, the president of the Pastors' Conference, former presidents of the convention and Pastors' Conference. We did not want to make these pre-convention sessions too short. We wanted to give the pastors time to have their Pastors' Conference and the WMU to have theirs. We compromised, the Bylaws Committee made a compromise from Monday night to Tuesday morning upon the suggestion and advice of former presidents such as Dr. Herschel Hobbs and Ramsey Pollard and Mrs. Mathis, Harper Shannon, Don Berry, others who have served in these capacities. This was our best thinking, and I think perhaps we maybe ought to stick with the Tuesday morning beginning in order to give WMU and our pastors' conference time for their pre-convention meetings.
Thank you. The chair recognizes microphone one.
Brother President Herschel Hobbs, he has just said what I was going to say. He made my speech. I ain't got nothing to say except that I hope you will vote down the amendment and stay with the recommendation, because it is the result of many hours of study and prayer by a lot of people.
Is there further discussion to the amendment? Microphone 5.
President, this is Frank Robinson from Maryland. I would like to ask if we could not have reverence and prayer instead of applauding. There are many issues that divide us, and when we clap and applaud, we are only creating more resentment in the midst of our ranks. And I think that God Almighty would not be pleased with this kind of a church program in our local churches. I'd hate for my church to have a business program like we're having here. And I offer my apology for saying this, but I'm sincere at heart. There are many more things we're going to be faced before we leave this convention. And I think instead of clapping and applauding either side, that we ought to be praying in quietness and prayer and trying to find God's will for what we ought to do and settle our differences in prayer, not in applauses. Thank you.
The brother's point has been made, and I appeal to the convention to follow his suggestions. I think our president has set the pace in the beginning of this convention by calling us to our knees in prayer. I certainly think it would be appropriate for us to pause for a few seconds of silent prayer now. Amen. The question or the discussion is on the amendment to the recommendation number 12 to substitute the words Monday night for Tuesday morning. I recognize microphone number 2.
I raise a point of order, please, sir. Carl Overton from Arkansas.
State your point of order, please.
Point of order is this. In tabling a part of a motion or a part of a recommendation or resolution, am I not correct that this carries with it the total issue, the total matter?
No,
if
sir.
So, all debate that is on this and all the other rest of this report should go to the table with it.
No, the chair rules that your point of order is not well taken, that the amendment, or rather the motion to table, was a specific section only of the recommendation.
I'd have to see the statement in Roberts to that issue.
The chair rules that your point is not well taken. The convention can reverse the chair if it so desires. I recognize Mrs. Mathis, who's asked for recognition.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not speaking for or against the amendment, but I feel that I have an obligation to clarify a statement that was made that might indicate that Woman's Missionary Union threw me as president because I was invited by the committee to sit with it and hear the deliberations, that perhaps I spoke for Woman's Missionary Union in favor of a Tuesday morning beginning of the convention. I did not speak in favor of a Tuesday morning beginning of the convention. I stated the position of Woman's Missionary Union Executive Board, and it was this, that the Southern Baptist Convention would vote when it wanted to begin its session, and that Woman's Missionary Union would fit its program around it. And I want this really understood, because I never asked for any compromise. When the compromise was suggested, the chairman of the Bylaws Committee asked everyone in the room if they would not oppose the promise not to oppose the compromise, to please lift their hands if they approved it. I did that, but I wanted you to know that in speaking for Woman's Missionary Union, we did not ask for any consideration in beginning and having Woman's Missionary Union to have an additional session on Monday evening.
I would like to request Dr. Criswell to resume the chair and call for the privilege of speaking as a past president of the Pastors Conference to this motion.
And your president recognizes Dr. Harper Shannon.
I was present in the Executive Committee's Subcommittee on Bylaws when this particular recommendation was formulated or when it was discussed. And as previously indicated, as a past president of the Pastors Conference, I spoke in favor of it. I believe in the Southern Baptist Pastors Conference. I do not believe that it is an unnecessary appendage to the Southern Baptist Convention meetings. It has proven to be a decisive, a tremendously inspiring, and wonderfully preparatory experience for many, many thousands of ministers and their wives and other church staff members throughout the years. However, the convention this year began on Monday night, I think quite definitely in response to a specific appeal last year from our president, Dr. Criswell, to join together in mutual planning on the occasion of this historic anniversary, 125th anniversary of our convention. It was the feeling of some that all subsequent conventions should begin on Monday night, and I feel that a reasonable compromise in both an attempt to shorten the total sessions of the Southern Baptist Convention, as well as the pre-convention meetings, was reached with the recommendation that the Executive Committee is making. That is, that the convention subsequently begin on Tuesday morning. This gives the entire day on Monday, including Monday evening, as well as any Sunday services that any of the pre-convention meetings might care to have. I feel that this is a reasonable, workable thing that will maintain the integrity of the meetings that have proven to be a great inspiration. I would hate to see the convention do anything to destroy some of the most inspirational meetings that most of us have been privileged to attend, at least in part, prior to it. Therefore, I speak, Mr. President, to the defeat of the amendment and in favor of the original recommendation.
now, the only way to stop formally would be for you to make a motion that the previous question be moved. But I just wonder if you're not ready to vote, and let's just vote. We have so much to do. Dear people, we haven't come down to the order of business set for this time yet. And we need to get to it. This is the time. You realize that you must introduce a motion or a resolution before it can be considered later and a time set for it. And we haven't even got to that. Now, you know what we're voting on. Let's vote on it. And unless I am brained here, we're going to vote on that thing right now. Now, you understand the vote. If you vote for this amendment, you vote for the convention to begin on Monday night, which curtails our WMU and our pastors' conference programs. If you vote against this amendment, you're voting for the convention to begin on Tuesday morning. All right, now let's vote. All of you in favor of this amendment, which says we begin the convention on Monday night, will you hold up your hand? Thank you. All of you who vote against the amendment and thus vote for the convention to begin on Tuesday, hold up your hand. Thank you. It is almost unanimously carried. Well, we're on the way. Now we've got to vote on the recommendation. The amendment loses, but you got to vote on the recommendation now.
When you get through that,
all right.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's vote on the recommendation now. All of you in favor of receiving the recommendation of the executive board, we begin the convention on Tuesday. Will you hold up your hand? Thank you. All opposed? Likewise. Thank you. And now, Bob Scales.
Mr. President, it is recommended with the approval of Mr. Ruth of the executive committee that we cease the consideration of the executive committee recommendations at this time to take them up again immediately after the election of officers, which is scheduled for soon after 2:30 this afternoon at the beginning of the next miscellaneous business period, and that we proceed at this time with the introduction of miscellaneous business and resolutions.
Thank you, Dr. Scales. We so begin now. We begin later at the time appointed for the conclusion of the report of the executive committee, and we're going to receive motions and resolutions. Now, all right, now you introduce yourself.
This is D. Lewis White from Tennessee. Mr. President and messengers of the convention, I wish to make a presentation. For almost 2 years, it has been my privilege to serve as the Southern Baptist Convention coordinator for perhaps the largest and most extensive cooperative field service project ever attempted by our convention agencies as they have worked together through the Interagency Council. The chief purpose of this project was to assist the churches to do a better job of reaching persons for Christ and church membership, teaching persons the message and meaning of the Bible, and training persons for more meaningful Christian service through the use of improved methods and curriculum materials that would be used October 1970. We sought to accomplish this purpose by training selected associational leaders in state shaping the 70s conferences, who in turn would train local church leaders in associational shaping the 70s clinics. From its inception, this shaping the 70s effort was bathed in prayer, and we believe the results thus far are indicative of the mighty hand of God at work in our midst. With every state convention's excellent cooperation, 8,100 out of a possible 10,437 associational leaders were trained, or 78% of the target group. And now, Mr. President, the Southern Baptist Convention agencies involved in this mammoth project want you to have the Shaping the 70s notebook properly inscribed. It is like the one given to each person who was trained at these state conferences. The contents of this notebook are representative of the many and varied resources available to the people in our churches, which, if used with dependence upon the Holy Spirit, will produce results pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mr. President, your notebook. Thank you very much.
And I am honored and appreciate it so very much. And the dear Lord magnify and further the work represented in this endeavor. Now we shall begin.
Mr. President, this is O.K. Armstrong, a messenger from University Heights Baptist Church, Springfield, Missouri. I have two brief resolutions. I've been informed, as has others on the platform, that these will be printed, and we have been requested simply to summarize them, since you will have an opportunity to read them and to pass upon them tomorrow or the next day. May I say, therefore, that the first one, and I read its first sentence, whereas, according to reports by the National Safety Council, about 51,000 persons lost their lives and approximately twice that number were seriously injured in traffic accidents during 1969, about 52% of which fatalities and injuries involved drivers of motor vehicles who had been drinking alcoholic liquors. Now, we summarize the next paragraph. It is simply a reference to the fact, my fellow messengers, that 48 or 49 of our state legislatures will be meeting in session in the early months of 1971. Therefore, we resolve that this session of the Southern Baptist Convention urge the people of our churches and citizens everywhere to demand of our legislatures that they pass laws and regulations controlling with stiffer penalties and so on, which are outlined in this brief resolution, so that we can begin to cope adequately with the slaughter on the streets and highways of our cities and rural areas of the nation. I ask that this be referred to the Resolutions Committee. Mr. President, a second brief resolution, which begins, whereas the tide of obscenity and pornography in publications and entertainment rises higher and higher throughout our nation, in magazines, paperback books, and other printed materials, and in motion pictures, at least one half of which are now labeled X, which means that they are too indecent to be seen by young people or older people also. And in this resolution, we ask the Southern Baptist Convention to go on record to urge upon our people and decent citizens everywhere a program of action which will deal with this great problem. I ask that this be referred to the Resolutions Committee, and I earnestly ask you, my fellow messengers, to study these resolutions and see if we can't get action. And so far as I'm concerned, it applies to Playboy magazine.
All right. Thank you. Now, we recognize microphone number 5.
Mr. President, this is Norman Shands from Kansas City, Missouri. I wish to offer a motion for the consideration of the convention at an appropriate time. I move that the Executive Committee of the Convention be requested to study in consultation with the appropriate agencies and institutions the existing resources available for the continuing theological education and or professional training for the pastors and staff members of the churches, and to bring to the convention in session in 1971 a report with recommendations for the extension and the maximum use of these resources.
Thank you. Immediately come to the platform and give that motion to Dr. Allott. And that obtains for each one of the motions that is presented. You must write it out, bring it to Dr. Allen, and our Committee on Order of Business will set a time for its discussion. Now, number one.
President, this is Dick Maples from North Carolina. I have a resolution to be referred to the Resolutions Committee, the essence of which is that the Christian Life Commission be asked to conduct studies and develop resource papers to inform Southern Baptists of facts and trends on the abortion issue. I ask that this be referred to the Committee on Resolution.
Yes. Now you come up here and bring it. Thank you. All right.
I'm Kenneth Baltrop from the Hoffmantown Baptist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I have a resolution which takes into account the evidence that is given of the fact that our nation is in the deepest throes of moral and spiritual degradation, and ask that our convention will set aside a 24-hour period of fasting and prayer in July, and we ask our president to proclaim such a day, and that we participate in such a day of fasting and prayer. We ask our Baptist World Alliance to participate, as they will be meeting in Tokyo, Japan at that time, and that we follow this day of fasting and prayer with a 40-day intensive effort in witnessing for Christ across our nation. Thank you.
Thank you, and we recognize Dr. Scales.
Mr. President, the time for this item has expired. It would require a motion that the time be extended. Otherwise, it is time for us to adjourn.
Well, you better make it more than 10 if you're going to extend it. Would you object to the time being extended 30 minutes?
Mr. President, there is another opportunity for these motions to be introduced at two miscellaneous periods this afternoon.
Part of our time was taken.
All right. The motion is made that we extend the time 30 minutes. There's no discussion. Let's vote on it. All of you in favor of extending the time 30 minutes, hold up your hand. Thank you. All opposed, hold up your hand. Well, dear me, we're bogged down over this. All of you in favor of extending the time 30 minutes, stand up. Thank you. All of you not in favor of extending it 30 minutes, stand up. Oh, dear. You may be seated. The motion, as far as I can see, is lost. Now, what do you want to do? All right, number one.
A point of parliamentary inquiry, sir. As you have asked that these resolutions be summarized, could they not, by your ruling, be summarized simply by the title or one or two descriptive words as to what the subject matter pertains to, that we could take care of. They're going to be printed later.
Yes.
Could we not, instead of explaining them, they just give one word as to what they are and introduce them simply?
That would help. Let's remember that. Yeah. Listen, the man originally made the motion to extend it 10 minutes. Now, do you want to make that motion?
I move the time be extended 10 minutes.
All right. Is there a second to that motion? All right, all in favor of extending the time 10 minutes, would you hold up your hand? Thank you. That's largely carried. I'm just zealous for the cause, that's all. All right.
Mr. President, my name is William Dodson, and I live in Memphis, Tennessee. I have a motion. The motion is that the Southern Baptist Convention, in annual session in Denver, Colorado, instruct the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention to loan money from the Church Loan Fund of the Home Mission Board only to churches and missions affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention.
Thank you. It'll be set a time for discussion. All right.
Mr. President, I'm Landrum Level. I have something that I'd like to read and then make a motion that this be included in the minutes of the proceedings of the Southern Baptist Convention. Your elected board members of the Sunday School Board have a deep sense of responsibility to the denomination for our stewardship. We of the elected board are not involved in matters of internal administration. We are responsible for establishing guidelines, granting authorities, and determining policy. We have taken the following steps to assure compliance with the convention action regarding the Baptist Statement of Faith and Message taken at New Orleans in 1969. This appears in your convention bulletin. There are five steps that have been taken by your elected board to see to it that the materials produced by the Sunday School Board comply with the Baptist Statement of Faith and Message. This action has been taken by your board. It is in the process of completion. You'll find it written in your daily bulletin today. I would like to move, sir, that this be included in the minutes of the proceedings of this meeting. If you'll do that by consent now or by vote now, this can be taken care of.
It is not unanimously consented to, so it has to be set at a time when we can discuss it. All right.
Gary Hawkins from Missouri. I move that we instruct the Christian Life Commission, Committee on Public Affairs, or such other organization as deemed best by the convention officers to prepare periodically the voting records of all members to Congress on moral issues. Such reports are to be mailed to every pastor in the convention.
Thank you. Now next.
Mr. President, this is Harold Horn, Manhattan Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. I make a motion that a messenger making a resolution to this convention be permitted to meet with the resolutions committee while the committee is considering said resolution of the messenger.
Thank you. Now the next.
I'm Gwen Turner from Los Angeles. I move that, or offer a motion to be considered at a later time. I move that because Volume 1 of the New Broadman Bible Commentary is out of harmony with the beliefs of the vast majority of Southern Baptist pastors and people, that this convention request the Sunday School Board to withdraw Volume 1 from further distribution, that it be rewritten with due consideration of a conservative viewpoint.
Thank you. Now the next.
I'm Woodrow Hill from Thomasville, North Carolina. I have a resolution related to law and order and our expressing a desire to cooperate with organizations and agencies of our government and the various professions, particularly the American Bar Association, in the observance of Law Day, USA, which is held annually on May the 1st each year.
Thank you. Now the next.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Hugh Womble of Missouri. I have a resolution against the use of public funds for parochial and private education, a resolution made timely by the action of our President of the United States and the springing up of many forms of private education in our land.
Thank you, and amen. And the next.
Mr. President, I've had a radiogram, a radio message from one of our missionaries in Lima, Peru. And since we've been meeting here, according to news reports and from Dr. Brazelton of Lima, we've heard that thousands of lives have been killed in a terrible earthquake in Peru. Many homes have been demolished and untold damage has been done to property. And therefore, I want to present a resolution that the messengers of this convention express our deep concern and sympathy assurance of our prayers to the President of Peru, and also that we express to our Southern Baptist missionaries and our fellow Baptists in Peru our special concern and prayers for them at this time of great and terrible disaster.
Thank you, and the next.
Mr. President and fellow messengers, I'm M.M. Goss from Birmingham, Alabama. I have a resolution in hand which was signed by 133 people in Alabama, who, most of whom were lay people, in support of the work of the Christian Life Commission, just commending these brethren and assuring them of our good wishes.
Thank you. And the next.
I'm Dan Kent from Texas. I have a resolution on the subject of violence, which suggests in part a stance for Christians, for churches to consider on this important matter.
Thank you. And the next.
J.R. Jones from Ohio. Mr. President, I move that the messengers to this convention instruct the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention to obtain annually, as a condition of continued employment, a written statement from all employees of each board, commission, or other agency receiving funds in any form from the cooperative program. Said statement to be a reaffirmation of the individual employee's personal acceptance of and belief in the Bible as the authoritative, authentic, inspired, infallible Word of God. Said Executive Committee shall report the results annually to the Southern Baptist Convention. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I'm Robert Bartell from Arlington, Virginia. I have a resolution regarding, I believe, pertinent to our missionary outreach concerning the Wycliffe Bible Translators, dedicated people for Christ. They are working in a field that no other group is working, and creating languages for tribes that have no language. My resolution is that because this opens fields for all denominations, be it resolved that members of the Southern Baptist Convention be urged to give consideration, as the Holy Spirit leads them, to the offering of love gifts to the Wycliffe Bible Translators for the purpose of carrying the gospel of Christ to the remote peoples of the world who heretofore have had no written languages.
Thank you. And the next.
Emmett Johnson, Sarasota, Florida. I move you, sir, that we as Southern Baptists go on record at this 1970 Southern Baptist Convention in Denver, Colorado, as being determined to carry our load of the responsibility within the worldwide Christian community in providing Christian mission efforts and services to minister to those persons who, in the not-too-distant future, will be traveling and in some cases residing temporarily or indefinitely in outer space and under our seas. That the Executive Committee of our convention be requested to determine the initial procedures for our convention to follow in order to implement this objective. That we request our Executive Committee to submit a report and or recommendation concerning this matter at our 1971 Southern Baptist Convention in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you. Now, our time is done. I recognize Dr. Scales. Then after that, Dr. Scales, I want to recognize Dr. Kendall.
Mr. President, the order requires that announcement be made about any matters to be considered in a subsequent session. Now, most of these items that have been presented will be printed in the bulletin, will be considered Wednesday morning and Thursday morning. But our committee is suggesting that if time permits, this afternoon at the 3:35 time for miscellaneous business, that these four motions that have been made will be considered at that time. One has to do with the continuing the study by the Executive Committee of the education. Another has to do with the Sunday School Board, the motion that was made by Mr. Level about the Sunday School Board having a portion of their report included. The other will have to do with the Home Mission Board lending money from the church building funds. The fourth will have to do with resolutions, a person who makes a resolution having the privilege to appear before the resolutions committee. If time permits, these four motions will be considered at the miscellaneous period at 3:35.
Thank you, Dr. Scales. Now, Dr. Kendall with an announcement.
We report on the election. Dr. Carl E. Bates was elected on the first ballot by a clear majority. There'll be no required runoff.
Thank you. Now, I hate to just get up and leave without anything. Let's stand up and sing a verse, then we'll leave. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Their way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. I'll see you at 2:15 for the music part and at 2:30 when we start again. Thank you.
At the cross where I first saw the light. Would you sing with us? Remain standing and sing, please, at the cross.
I'm
says, and now I am happy all the day. If you're happy in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now would you be seated, please? And we're going to sing, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord.
Just for a moment, Mr. Smith, I'm going to ask that all of the reporters please leave the platform for a moment. The group will be seated. If you'll be seated, we will get to this matter in a very few moments. These men who are on the platform have promised me they'll be seated. If everyone else is seated, we'll bring this matter to you. We have a worship period. We have a time of music. And at 2:30, we'll be bringing this matter to your attention. Let's continue now in this spirit of worship. Let's sing one more verse of a song, Fritz, and then this special music, please.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Is this sing taking place? I wonder if I can get you to say before me while I come back.
Special time, a feature of music and evangelism. We're very privileged to have four to come and bring music for us. First, Mr. Billy Hilbin, who is now in the field of evangelistic music and music publication for more than 25 years in the field of sacred music, makes his home in Dallas, Texas, will sing for us a miracle medley, accompanist Miss Green and Mr. Brinkley.
Heart of mine, by the power of grace divine.
Now Ron and Patricia Owen from Noonan, Georgia, sacred concert artist, crusade evangelism, will come and sing for us.
In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me. All I know tis well, yet how or why I cannot tell. He should have lifted me
from sinking sand. He lifted me
with tender hand. He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. And I've discovered the way of gladness.
I've discovered the way of joy.
I've discovered relief from sadness.
Tis a happiness without alloy.
I've discovered the fount of blessing.
I've discovered the living word.
'Twas the greatest of all discoveries when I found Jesus.
Jamal Badry from Oklahoma City, 9 years in the field of evangelistic music, widely used in music evangelism, 4 record albums, will come and sing for us, "Then I Met the Master." He'll be accompanied by Mr. Brinkley.
Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless, alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of his own. For all things were changed when he found me. A new day broke through all around me. For I met the Master. Now like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had longed, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. sister. Now I walk no more in the night, for all things were changed when he found me. A new day broke through all around me, for I met the Master. Now I belong to him. I met the Master.
Connie Brody, Jackson, Mississippi, evangelistic soloist, 4 years on the staff of the Sagamore Hill Baptist Church in Fort Worth, used extensively in crusades and camps and conventions. Sing for us, Grace, so amazing. She'll be accompanied by Mr. Gerald Ray, minister of music of the First Baptist Church, Houston, Texas.
I could never repay. Grace.
now to lead us in our invocation, J.H. Goings, Superintendent of Missions, Sholo, Arizona. Brother Goings.
Shall we bow our heads for a moment of prayer together? Our blessed Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in grateful adoration unto Thee this afternoon, recognizing Thee, our Father, as God of our life, recognizing our Father that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of all men, and then praying our Father that we recognize the Holy Spirit of our God this afternoon as you hover as a mantle over the heads of every person that's gathered here. Our Father, as we inaugurate this afternoon's program with the different boards we'll have a part, and then our institutions of learning will bring their reports, we come, our Father, into this portion of our program, the Christ Life, a blessed service. May our Father, we dedicate ourselves completely, unreservedly unto Thee this afternoon, that everything we do shall be under the leadership of God's Spirit. Our Father, we find that in the very beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that out of the confusion, out of the chaos of disorder, there came the orderliness under the hand of God. We pray, our Father, that there shall be order in every phase of our program this afternoon, that every decision that made will be made under the leadership of Thy Spirit, that every message that's brought, every report, will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might be drawn closer to God. Thank you for these that have lifted our hearts heavenward in their songs tonight, this afternoon, and for these, our Father, who have played so faithfully at the instruments. And may our Father, the leadership of our convention, be blessed, for we're grateful for our leadership and for what this convention stands for. Now, our Father, may the blessings of Almighty God rest upon every person that's here. We make our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
We come now to our business session. I have been approached as the presiding officer of the chair by a group of students, Afro-American Student Union, a local chapter of the Metro State College, part of the National Black Student Association, requesting time to speak to our group. As presiding officer, I do not have that authority. Our program committee makes no recommendation to us in regard to this matter. This is a matter that our convention must make. These young people have come requesting time, but it is a decision that you will need to make, and you will need to determine in regard to whether or not we will hear these young people. Is there anyone who has a motion that they care to make? I recognize the gentleman on microphone 2. Would you turn on microphone 2, please? Would you identify yourself, your state, and make your motion?
I'm Bill Cumby from Alexandria, Virginia. Mr. President, I move that we give these young people 10 minutes for whatever presentation they wish to make to us.
You hear this motion that these young people be given 10 minutes to make a presentation to us. You've heard it second. Many of our leaders on the platform have recommended that we would follow this procedure. And yet again, I say that I feel as presiding officer, this is your decision. Is there any further debate on this issue or any further discussion in regard to it? All right. Those in favor of this motion, that this is a man wanting to debate, at microphone 2.
I'm Ernest Webb from Oklahoma City. It seems to me like we've been unable to change the time for any of the other things in our convention. We've went on and on and on, and we've been called off, and we didn't finish our business. We didn't do a lot of things on time, the time schedule. And I don't see where anybody else who's not even a part of the convention has any right to come in and disrupt it and make our time different.
All right, you've heard that comment. There's another gentleman on microphone 2 that has a comment that he needs to make.
Lee Porter, I'm Charles Kilolf from Texas. All of us recognize the crucial days in which we live, and I do not feel that 10 minutes would be out of order for an august body as great as we are to allow these young people 10 minutes. I do not want any applause. Please do not do that.
May I have your attention? We will vote on this matter in just a moment. We're trying to do this in absolute authority, and I want to work this out. We're ready to do it. If you'll let this individual finish his statement, and then we'll be voting on this matter.
I ask the messengers for us to allow 10 minutes for the motion that's been made and seconded.
Some gentlemen here moved the previous question. The motion is seconded. Those in favor of moving the previous question will vote by the uplifted hand. Opposed? It is carried, and now we'll vote on the motion. The motion before us is that we allow these young people 10 minutes to make whatever presentation they would want to make to our group. This is the motion that's before you. Those in favor of this motion will vote by the upraised hand. Down. Opposed. The motion is carried. I'm going to ask that the chairman of our order of business, when I relinquish the microphone, will start the 10 minutes. We will give these young people their full 10 minutes to make this presentation. I would simply say to these young people, they've talked to me about Jesus Christ. We are a Christian organization. We are a Christian group. In brotherly love, we have tried to receive you in a matter that is in accordance with our rules and with our orders. Who is to speak for the group? Mr. Jeff Thomas is to speak for this group. We'll recognize him at this moment. Mr. Thomas.
A prayer first. Almighty God, reach deep into the heart of these so far bigoted people. Bring down the precepts of thy son Jesus Christ and let it flow into their minds and open their closed ears to what has to be said in the next 5 minutes. We here today are a group of concerned black students from Metropolitan State College who tend to face this nation and racism any time we see it. Black people are the conscience of this nation. They are the beautiful black conscience of this nation who has yet to live up to the precepts, constitution, and the religion that is spoken. The Southern Baptist Church and Union has in its members today people who have castrated, raped, and murdered black people, and white people who have stood up, and white people who have stood up for the cause of Christianity and freedom. We here demand that you live up to the precepts of Jesus Christ. You have told us that the churches are the pillars of our nation. Well, so far they've been empty. As it was said in the Bible, they have been tinkling bells, cymbals, with no real backbone. Afraid to speak up for what Christ spoke up for and died because some wealthy parishioner will withdraw his support. Because the ministers of these churches, and I also, not only whites, but there are black ministers who suffer from this same cancerous growth I call pigism, who have been afraid to search to the depths of these parishioners and see how deep their Christianity goes rather than how large their wallet is. Today, many of you in this room's children are turning away from you, and you're wondering why. I say that for 300 years, this nation and the religion of Christianity, which is only Christianity in name, because Christ was a believer in mankind and a developer of people rather than things. Because Christ was more interested in the lowest, the littlest, most insignificant life on this planet than he was all the money that there was at that time. Christ wore sandals, his hair was long, and he had B.O. probably. But he believed in people. And that's what we here, black students, believe in today. Again, I'll reiterate, we are the beautiful black conscience of this nation. We come here to make no demands on your pocketbooks. We could care less about your money. For all of that counts for nothing if you're not Christians. And I say to you today that our religion has been twisted and perverted until it is all out of the shape of what Christ meant it to be. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. I appreciate you remaining in the time, giving us back 3 minutes. We would like to invite you to stay and participate in the rest of the activities of the afternoon. I think you will find that Southern Baptists are moving in a positive direction and that we've made many decisions, and many of our churches have made worthwhile decisions in the areas of race. And under God, I pray that we shall always be Christian in this area. We continue with the order of the day. We come now to the election of the officers. It is now appropriate for us to entertain nominations for the election of first vice president. I recognize Fred Swank.
I'm Fred Swank from Fort Worth, Texas, Second Wheel Baptist Church. It's my joy today to nominate for the position of first vice president of this great convention a young man who is 38 years old, who has spent 12 years in the state of Colorado building churches. He has been pastor of two great churches, the First Baptist Church of Security, Colorado, the Circle Drive Baptist Church of Colorado Springs. This man is Lewis Atkinson. He has been president of the Colorado Convention. He presided over the Convention of Colorado with great dignity. He has many friends in Colorado. He presided over the organization of the North Plains Baptist Convention, and he worked on their constitution that they adopted and are now operating under. Lewis Atkinson was born in Fort Worth, Texas. I have known him all of his life. He surrendered to preach in our church. And I'm amazed at the wonderful fellowship that he has with Colorado Baptists. It is my opinion that we need to elect somebody to lead us from these great pioneer states. And I feel like that every man in Colorado will agree with me. There is no one in our pioneer states who can lead us better than Lewis Atkinson.
Again, we would request that you would not clap for each one of these. We'll have a chance to vote in a moment. Lewis Atkinson from Colorado has been nominated. I recognize Joe Mormon from New Mexico.
I'm Joe Mormon from Las Cruces, New Mexico. We would like for you to consider a man that is in our midst in New Mexico that we believe is well qualified to fill the office of first vice president and president if the need were to arise. Dr. John H. Parrott has graduated from Ouachita College Southern Seminary. He has pastored churches in Arkansas, Texas, Indiana, And at the present time, he is in his 11th year at the First Baptist Church of Roswell, New Mexico. During the time that he has been in New Mexico, Dr. Parrott has been president of the state convention, has been president of the mission board, has been president of the Sunday school board, and at the present time is representing New Mexico on the executive board. It is not because we do not have other men that are capable, but we believe that John Parrott is extra as far as capability is concerned. We would appreciate it, as a former man has said, if you would look toward the West and toward some of our pioneer states in selecting a first vice president. It gives me pleasure to present to you a name that I believe is well known in our convention and a man who can do a job if you call upon him to do so, Dr. John H. Parrott of Roswell, New Mexico.
John Parrott has been nominated. Jim Pleitz from Florida.
My friend, the New Testament makes it quite clear that Jesus Christ intends for every Christian to be a minister. Everyone here is a minister of the Lord Jesus. And with this in mind, I would like to nominate an outstanding lay minister to the high office of the first vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Brother Fred Rhodes is a Christian lawyer from Washington, D.C. He is the deputy director of the Veterans Administration, which makes him the second man in authority in one of our government's largest agencies. Brother Rhodes deals directly with 27 million veterans. He helps to plan a budget of $9 billion. Brother Rhodes is a direct descendant of Roger Williams, and that in itself is something. A native Washingtonian, he has been very active in Baptist life for many years in the nation's capital. Through his local church, he has served as a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, and superintendent of the Sunday school. He has been a part of the denominational life in that he has served as the president of the District of Columbia Convention and chairman of its executive committee. Brother Rhodes has served for 6 years with much distinction on the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. Last night, this dedicated layman brought to this convention greetings from Richard Nixon. I pray that since we have selected a strong pastor as our president, that this convention will look with favor on a layman, a lay minister, and give him an opportunity to represent the millions we have in our churches that need to be heard and whose leadership is sorely needed. I hope you'll vote for Fred Rhodes.
The name of Fred Rhodes has been nominated. Are there others who wish to make nominations? If not, do I hear a motion that nomination cease? This man wants to make another nomination. I will recognize him, so I did not hear the other motion.
My name is Richard Peacock. I pastor in Dallas, Texas. I would like to place in nomination the name of an outstanding layman, one that has served in this state and served well over the years. He was a member of my church while I was pastor here for 10 years. He served as Sunday school superintendent. He served as deacon. In the denomination, he has served on the Foreign Mission Board. He has loved our denomination. He has given much of his time and his life to it. Many of you will know him. I would like to place in nomination the name of Mr. Milton H. Collin.
Milton Collin, would you come just a moment to the platform, sir? Sir, would you come and give the name here so we'll be sure we have it spelled correctly? Has been nominated. Are there other nominations? Do I hear a motion then that nomination cease? All right, we have the motion and second that nomination cease. All in favor of this motion will vote by the upraised hand. Opposed? It is carried. Our registration secretary, Mr. Fred Kendall, will come and tell us the procedure for voting. Would you listen very carefully? And then we're going to ask that you vote and then that you quickly turn in your ballots. We had a problem this morning and that the ballots kept trickling in for 20 or 30 minutes. Please listen carefully, vote, and then turn in your ballots. Dr. Fred Kendall.
Now you will please notice the names of the nominees and the order in which they were nominated. And those numbers will be their assignment on the ballot, which will be ballot number 2. And please don't use any other ballot except ballot number 2, because a machine will reject them. And punch out the little square just opposite the number for which you want to vote. And be sure that you remove that little piece of cardboard in that square, because they also slow down or even jam up the machine. And any glue that may remain on the end of the card, please remove it. Also, when you have voted, you did a magnificent job this morning. In fact, all of the ballots came in properly stacked with the cut corner all placed together so that the tellers didn't have to rearrange, I don't believe, any ballots at all. And so if you will arrange them as you pass them to your right. Now, if you'll pass them to the aisle to your right, this will facilitate the picking up of these ballots by our ushers, and place them with the cut corners together. And this will speed up so much the counting. And if all of the...
Call them again before you will, please.
If the number 1, Lewis Atkinson, number 2, John H. Parrott, number 3, Fred Rhodes, number 4, Milton H. Collum. And these will be on those positions on the ballot, number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And turn your ballots into the ushers to your right, and the ushers will please collect them and bring them immediately to the teller's room. And all tellers will come, you know where the room is, here just to my right, at exit 7 on the mezzanine floor, and we will proceed with a count as soon as the ballots are brought in.
Dr. Kendall, the request came again. Please call the names. They say it's rather dim over here. I wonder if this spotlight could be turned out just for a moment. I think we can see the board a little better. And maybe, but would you read the names one more time quickly for us, please? I'm sorry.
Now I'll read them slowly. Number 1, Lewis Atkinson. Number 2, John H. Parrott. Number 3, Fred Rhodes. Number 4, Milton H. Collum. And please do not bend your ballots in any way if you can keep them straight, because this will also, they will be rejected by the machine if you bend them or fold them.
We'll wait just a moment while you mark your ballots, pass them down, and turn them in, please. During the most of this convention, three of our officers have been on the platform at all times. I don't know whether you were aware of the fact while ago. I was quite well aware of the fact that only one of our vice presidents or presidents was on the platform. As I turn this gavel back to Dr. Criswell, I hope he enjoyed his dinner while I had that hot dog. And I really wonder where he was. No, I know where he was. Even though Dr. Criswell wasn't here, I think God was with us. And I'm convinced we did the right thing. Dr. Criswell, it's time for miscellaneous business.
You know, in these years past, I used to wonder, what in the world does a president do when he leaves the convention? Surely he doesn't have to go to the bathroom that many times in that long. I used to wonder, what does he do? Well, I have learned
All the things that are thrust upon you. I was sorry not to be here on time, but as some of you know, I was host today at noon at a dinner with the men who represent the other Baptist conventions of America, our colored conventions, several of our other conventions, and I couldn't tell the men, now you just go on and eat, I'm going back. I was their host, so I had to stay. But I know God blesses you, and He leads us, and that's enough. Now, dear people, we must finish the report of our executive committee. Is Dr. Porter Ruth? Dr. Ruth, we must finish the report and the recommendations of our executive committee. Dr. Ruth.
Mr. Chairman, we're sorry that this has taken so long, but I think you have been, and this is the way it often happens, we've been discussing resolutions and a lot of other things in connection with the report of the executive committee, and this is good. But we have come to the last recommendation now of the executive committee, which you find on the first page of your bulletin for this morning. And I'm going to ask Mr. Owen Cooper, who has been chairman of our hospital committee, subcommittee of the executive committee, if he will come and bring this recommendation.
Thank you, Dr. Ruth, and I'm pleased to have the privilege of bringing to this group this great, loving, generous Christian body, this report. I will begin by saying that you recall at the last session of the convention in New Orleans, a question was raised about certain admission policies at a hospital in New Orleans, and I'm pleased to report that there is an open admission policy. The hospital is qualified for Medicare and Medicaid, and any person of any race is freely admitted to the hospital. The main burden of this report, however, has to do with those paragraphs that are printed on the first page of the June 2nd Convention Daily Bulletin. And I would like to give you just a little background.